Sliwa.
Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Never went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll
7 minutes after the hour of 12.
Now you play pretty good fiddle,
and as
boy,
I was downstairs yesterday entering the building, I saw this big guy with a cowboy hat and white beard look like Santa Claus. And it's Charlie Daniels. And he was on his way up to see you, Rita Cosby, to appear on Stage 17, our entertainment extravaganza complex.
Yeah, we had a full house, by the way. Charlie was in the house.
And what was he doing? Was he just speaking to you, or was he playing songs, entertaining, going the whole nine yards?
He was speaking, but his story was so great, Curtis. And, of course, I love Charlie Daniels. I mean, he just tells it like it is. You know, I love interviewing these guys at this point. I mean, he's always been a frank talker. But, you know, I asked him about, of course, the Colin Kaepernick stuff. And he said, "Stand up. Everybody should be standing up. I don't want to see anybody kneeling during the anthem." And also talked about his incredible life. I mean, this guy has been in the business for 60 years. Very cool, patriotic, and spirited. I love him.
In fact, let's go to your interview with Charlie Daniels on the stage 17 last night in his appearance here at WABC.
When you kneel down and disrespect the flag, and there is very possibly a combat veteran standing out there holding the color, in the color guard, holding it. And this guy or gal has been and put their lives on the line to keep you free and keep your country free. You can't take 30 seconds to respect that person. Now, the players will tell you, I've heard them say it, we love our military. We're not meant to disrespect them. It's not, whether they do or they don't, you may be able to find a few that say that they're not insulted by it. But I deal with a lot of veterans, and I happen to know that the biggest part of them are very insulted and very hurt by it.
So now, as an antidote, are you intending, Rita Cosby, because you've had such a plethora of different people that you have brought to Stage 17 for interviews and performances, are you going to be queuing up to get Colin Kaepernick on board since he's just signed a $1 million deal to write his memoirs for Random House, and obviously it's going to focus on him originally being the first NFL player to take the knee during the national anthem and wearing the pig socks during his practice sessions when he quarterbacked the San Francisco 49ers. Is that your intention to bring Colin Kaepernick up to Stage 17?
Boy, would I love to grill Colin Kaepernick, that guy. And those pig socks, don't come in the building if you got those pig socks in. Don't you dare come in the WABC studios with those on.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Rita Cosby, our political director, is in the house. In fact, so nice, the suits. Have you listened to her twice Sunday mornings, first at 6 in the morning, and then again at 11. But we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound, courtesy of NJDiet.com. And I see that the mayor is at it. He has pushed off the decision as to what to do with all the statues, commemorations, and memorials that he has targeted to be reviewed by his Blue Ribbon Committee, his panel, that'll decide which ones stay, which ones go, or which ones have an addendum added to them. And in fact, they're putting out a survey online. And my immediate reaction to that, Rita Cosby, is when you do anything online now, it's permeated by these trolls, which are like angry birds.
Right. Or work in your favor, too. It could be both ways.
Right. But I have a feeling the opposition would be mounting their trolls.
Yes.
To go out there and diss and dismiss many monuments, obviously starting with Christopher Columbus at 59th Street Columbus Circle at the entrance of the west side of Central Park. and the many other statues that permeate around the city and the commemorations and the memorials. So this survey is asking supposedly you, if you happen to be online, if you happen to be contacted by Comrade de Blasio's Blue Ribbon Committee.
And by the way, on that committee, you know, which is the funny thing of it all, it's like you got Harry Belafonte. Guess where he's voting on the committee? If you look at who's on the committee, it's pretty much pro de Blasio opinion on the committee.
Who did you say was on that committee?
Your buddy, Harry Belafonte, the big singer.
Harry Belafonte.
And you want to go home.
Now, I know, Rita Cosby, you weren't at Carnegie Hall this past Friday night.
I missed that.
He said his last public appearance, he was on stage basically to talk about his life and times. According to the reviewers, he was disoriented because a stroke a few years ago took away his inner ear balance. He was taking long breaks to gather his thoughts.
That's the perfect person to have on the committee.
Looked like he was like in the throngs of the first wave of dementia. And then he made this startling statement. Now, this is the guy who's the committee chairman appointed by Comrade Bill de Blasio. Remember, he gave the commemoration speech at the inaugural for de Blasio when he defamed Bloomberg, who was sitting there. And was talking all kinds of trash. This is what he said at Carnegie Hall. He said, in electing Donald Trump, the country made a mistake. And I think the next mistake might very well be the gas chamber and what happened to the Jews under Hitler. That's not too far from our door.
And he has gone on and on and on with statements like that. And of course, he was one of the first people that was mentioned on the committee. So guess what the committee is going to look at? But all of this is also politics. Come on. We have the election right around the corner, November 7th, and we'll see. I mean, clearly he is pandering to voters. Clearly he's trying to pander to certain committee folks and get them in. What I think is so interesting about all this, this also comes on the scheme. Some people are saying, okay, is he just doing this and then he's going to kind of drop it, let it fade away like the horse carriage thing right after the election? Or like Michael Goodwin, who you and I know from the New York Post, came out and essentially said that he thinks that after the mayor gets into office, and we don't know if he's going to, anything can happen between now and November 7th, but he's doing great in the polls, clearly, he's dominating the polls, but that he will go even further to the left. And witness to that is Bernie Sanders is going to be campaigning with him on Monday.
The out the cock of Bernie Sanders from Madison High School. That's right, Madison, we are here, which also produced the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuckie G. Schumer, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who loves to take her wine-induced naps when sitting and hearing United States Supreme Court cases. But let me give you some of the other questions that may be coming your way if, in fact, you're contacted online by this Blue Ribbon Committee.
Which I'm sure they're going to reach out to just everybody. I'm sure it's going to be a very balanced survey.
No, it'll probably all go to Black Lives Matter
That's what I'm saying.
Members. It asks what factors the city should consider when reviewing a particular monument and what the effect on the city will be if a particular monument is preserved, altered, or removed. Respondents are invited to comment on the best ways to add context and to tell a more complete story of the history of those monuments. Officials plan to tally the responses and use them to inform their deliberations on what changes to recommend. You cannot contact them and say, gee, I'd like to be able to respond to your online survey. They have to contact you, which you know this is going to be completely skewed against keeping memorials such as the Confederate War Memorials or the Christopher Columbus Memorials or some of the more infamous monuments that are around the city. Like probably one of the more famous statues is right there across from the Plaza Hotel, General Tecumseh Sherman.
Yes.
You know, it's all gold now. It's
right.
All painted in gold leaf.
Yeah, it was redone, remember, not too long ago.
Well, part of that was to chase the pigeons away.
Yes.
Apparently, they will not perch nor poop on that particular statue because
you know a lot about perching and pooping.
Oh, yeah, because the old original statue used to have a lot of that poop, and pigeons would be perching on it. Now they didn't even go near it. But General Sherman, even though he was a leader of our Northern Army in the Civil War, This guy was so off the hook, I would charge him as a war criminal. First off, he used to beat his wife. He was an alcoholic, a manic depressive.
So are you saying that that should go down? Are you actually advocating for a statute to go down?
I'm just saying, if we're going to be fair and square, he burnt his way through the South.
Although that's not one of the ones that they're talking about. That I mean, everything's on the table.
Oh, but
that's
I not would. I would charge him as, in being a war criminal. And then, left over in the South, as he burned his way through Georgia, women, children, and the elderly.
So am I hearing right now that Curtis Lee was for getting a statue down?
Oh, yeah. One. Well, if they're going to take down Christopher Columbus, we're going to take down Sherman on the other side of Central Park.
Well, you know what I'd like to see, too? First of all, in the midst of all of this, let's not forget the polls. And that's actually a much more fair barometer. As you're pointing out, this online survey, we know where this is going to go. But if you look at the polls, overwhelmingly, New Yorkers say, keep the statues up. You look at these people going, what are you doing? Why? And then you saw the reaction he got at the Columbus Day Parade. You were right there.
Oh, I was booing him.
I mean, you were booing him. I know.
I was on one side booing him. Bo Dito, the mayoral candidate for the dump de Blasio line, he was booing him on the other side. We created a cacophony, a canyon of boos going in his direction. And we inspired the other Italians who were along the parade route to boo also.
So do you think that this online survey is going to give him cover? Because remember, when he came out and said, I'm going to do this committee, he gave himself 90 days. And ironically, it's, of course, after November 7th, after Election
there's
Day.
There's no doubt. Our numbers.
So he's going to go, here it is.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And what do you think about Comrade Bill de Blasio having appointed Harry Belafonte, Dedeo, as the chairman of this Blue Ribbon Committee, who just on Friday night at his last public appearance at Carnegie Hall said, in electing Donald Trump, the country made a mistake, and I think the next mistake might very well be the gas chamber and what happened to Jews under Hitler. That's not too far from our door. Our number is 1-800-848-9222.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa. 77 WABC.
1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do.
I got to go back to elementary school, PS 114, when I first heard this nursery rhyme. And Rita Cosby, I was of the belief that Christopher Columbus, who I believe was an actual Jew from Italy, who came to the court of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand when they were killing Jews and chasing them out of Spain through the Inquisition. He got their coin because he said, I can go east if I go west. And they gave him four ships. See, people don't realize this, Rita. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa, and the Maria.
Very good. Santa Maria.
But one of the ships crashed while in a storm outside of the Cape Verdean Islands as they were going west in order to find the east. And that's why it became the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Right.
They merged. They took the crew from the Maria and they put it on the Santa and named it the Santa Maria. A lot of people don't realize that.
So what's your point with all this?
Well, that's what I was taught at PS 114. And naturally, that nursery rhyme, it like reverberates in my head every time.
Me too. It's like memory lane hearing it.
Right. Every time I hear the discussion about what to do with the statue of Christopher Columbus at 59th Street Columbus Circle, it reverberates in my medulla and cerebellum.
Well, yeah, to me also, even if there are some questions about his past, and I think it's interesting. Look, I think the solution is, if you have a problem with some of the history and you get into the, you know, enslavement and all the indigenous, I hear all this stuff. Put a little plaque there saying, okay, maybe he wasn't perfect. This is what happened. But then you go to your point. Where do you draw the line? It's ridiculous.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Donald calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here today at WABC. Don?
Hello, Curtis, and hello, Rita.
Hello, Donald.
You guys. Curtis, you're just, I'm in awe of you. I've been listening to you for years and years. I was blown away. I didn't know you were the head of the Guardian Angels for 38 years, and you have all these groups around. Why aren't you the mayor of New York?
Hey, good idea, Curtis.
Well, it actually had been suggested early in the campaign. I became chairman of the New York State Reform Party, so I certainly had a line to run on because our executive committee probably would have given me the nomination if I wanted it. But this time around, I had such a bad case of colitis, ileitis, that's now become full-blown Crohn's disease. I have to have a major operation in late November. I could not have withstood the ordeal that one needs to go through in running a campaign for the mayoralty. So,
although you have more energy than I mean, you know, I see you here wee hours in the morning, so I don't think colitis is holding you down.
No, but
my
lost 60 pounds in 2 years, and oftentimes it was scraping me off the floor here, if you remember.
All right, so let me ask you the question here, since I got you on the radio. You're sitting there saying, okay, not this time. If all goes well and you keep this great pace that you do keep, because I see it firsthand, does that mean down the road you're not ruling it out?
Oh, I'm not ruling it out, because I know Comrade Bill de Blasio, it looks like he's a shoo-in, even though my candidate for mayor on the Reform Party line is Sal Albanese. You can vote for him in the general election. But if he gets in another 4 years, he's going to destroy the city even more.
And then it might be ready for Curtis Sliwa.
Yeah, might be ready. I don't think anyone out there knows more about the city in terms of its intricate detail, the underbelly of the city, than I do.
I'm telling you, I think you'd be great.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Right,
you got my vote. Let's go to the calls.
But
we got
Donald,
a lot of callers.
Donald, what was your point on Harry Belafonte?
Yes, Harry Belafonte, you really hit the nail on the head all the time. That's why I really love you, Curtis. I saw his picture in the paper 3 weeks ago, and the first thing I thought of when he was selected as the head of the committee for de Blasio, I saw that he looked like he had died 4 days before in the photograph. I didn't know all that stuff that you had mentioned about him on the thing.
Yeah, let me ask you, Donald, what did you think of the comment that Curtis was saying where he was here, and it was at the Carnegie Music Hall, actually, in Pittsburgh, where he said, talking about Trump, Hitler is not too far from our door. I mean, that's staggering. Imagine if it was on the other side of the aisle, if Trump came out and said that about somebody.
Well, I'm absolutely not surprised at all, because over the years, the minute I saw his picture, I said, this man despises the white race. He's mentioned it over the years in many articles.
Well, and you know, when he sang his classic song, and we started doing Limbo Rock, remember that? Rita Cosby,
yeah, sure,
in which they would lower the bar.
Yep.
It was always the white people who were the first out of the line, right? We just were not as limber as people of color who could get way down in limbo
now
rock.
Now you're sounding like Howard Cosell.
But it is
now
true.
Now you're giving us a little Howard Cosell.
I can't tell you how many times I would do that limbo rock. The stick would be lowered. You know, a guy like Ken Duffy was like a
Nebuchadnezzar
schlubby guy.
Let me make a confession. I used to do gymnastics. I was pretty good at the limbo, all right?
Oh, so you were like Gumby.
Yeah, I had a little bit of Gumby in me.
Okay, well, right? Look, you were double jointed. That helped. But I got to tell you, most white people, they could not get anywhere near under the stick without hitting the stick. And as you know, when you hit the stick, that's it. You're out of the limbo.
Yeah, I was able to stay in pretty long time.
Right? Anyway, let's go to the phones. Next up in the queue, we're going to Elna, who is calling from Corona. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Elna.
Hi, my favorite people.
Thank you, Elna.
Cristoforo Colombo non si tocca.
Ah, so don't touch Christopher Columbus. That's the translation, Curtis.
I'm the mother of the soldier. I met you before, Sliwa.
Ah, well, you know, if you actually wanted to touch the remnants of Christopher Columbus, they have his bones in the cathedral in Santo Domingo. I know, because we have guardian angels there. That is a huge tourist attraction there.
So what, are they going to remove the bones now, too? Is
that I don't know. I don't hear complaints about Christopher Columbus. Now, if you go to Puerto Rico, yes, because of the Taino Indians, who obviously suffered greatly when he conquered
But Columbus statues are all over the place there, too.
Yeah.
I've been down there in San Juan, and you can see the statues all over the place. We haven't heard that discussion yet.
Do the pigeons like to perch and poop on those statues in PR like they do here in Columbus Circle?
Yeah, and the pigeons are,
that's my concern. A lot of people, they hate pigeons because they're like rats, you know, with wings. But where are they going to perch? Where are they going to poop? Without a statue for them to perch on.
Yeah, we have to think of the penguins. The pigeons,
they
rather.
They are going to be landing on everyone's windowsills and doing it there.
Oh, there
They're
going
to become a menace to people's private homes and pooping on their roofs.
Maybe they need some, repellent. Pigeon repellent.
Well, they have those.
You know what they could do? They could bring in Mike Tyson, because he loves pigeons.
I know.
He could take them all in, right?
You know what they do, who are really sadists? they put these little spikes on the windowsill so that when the pigeons land, they get spiked.
I'm going to defend pigeons because that's part of New York. You know, I'd rather have a pigeon than a rat. Come on.
But some people have said it's a rat with wings.
I know, but at least they have wings. At least they can fly as opposed to crawl and grab your pizza.
But on that note, as I described him before, the never she schlubby Ken Duffy to give us our news headlines.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Don't you tell me you're full of eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it, just eat it.
12:38 as we continue with Rita Cosby in the house.
I love that rendition.
Oh, yeah. Well, the mayor has decided that he hasn't screwed up the Department of Education, the acronym being DOE, dumbest organization ever, enough with his many agenda items and new ideas. He's decided that he's going to be like a blue-haired matron and operate in the cafeteria behind the counter. Because he is implementing Meatless Monday.
Like Meathead from Archie Bunker. Come on. Yeah, this is not going to work. This is ridiculous.
Well, in fact, this is what Comrade Bill de Blasio said about the importance of having your vegetables.
Even if you had a bacon, egg, and cheese this morning, you still should want to see more and more of our diets go to a plant-based approach.
Yeah, by the way, plant-based, you talked about grilled cheese, noodles. It's not like these are like the greatest alternatives either. Come on.
Well, grilled cheese, that always used to be a fixture in the cafeteria at Bill DeCee Junior High School when I went there in Canarsie. The blue-haired matrons would get this like generic white bread. It wasn't like a silver cup or Wonder Bread.
Yeah, it was like a scary-looking kind of bread. You're like, what's that?
Yeah, and then they would get the government brick cheese in which they had to cut with a power saw. Because it was so thick, and then they would barely melt it on the piece of bread, the white bread.
Yeah, it was so generic. I remember when I was in school too. It was like this generic thing. You're like, what is that? Oh, that's another version of grilled cheese today.
And you needed a toothpick to get all the cheese out of your teeth once you finished your lunch.
You needed a blowtorch.
Exactly. But I think this is really created on behalf of his son. Who really is, Dante, responsible for him having bamboozled us and gotten elected the first time? Remember, he was neck and neck with about eight other Democrats. Anthony, the whiner, the perv wiener, which actually was ahead of the pack there briefly when he reentered to become mayor after resigning from the House of Representatives. And then he came out with that ad with Dante and the big fro.
That ad won it for him, hands down. That ad where you see him suddenly with the big fro, hugging his kids, you know, talking about, of course, New York.
And talking about how his public advocate, he would always drop his son off. You know, they lived in the slope, Park Slope, but he would drop him off at Brooklyn Tech High School in Fort Greene. And naturally, Dante was proud to be a vegetarian then. And so he's probably going to call this the Dante Rule.
The Dante's Inferno is what it will be
Dante's
called.
Dante's Inferno. But CBS Channel 2 was outside of schools asking kids what they thought of this meatless lunch idea on Mondays at City Public Schools.
Do you think your fellow students are all pleased with this year's school menu?
No.
No. Some complain? What do they say?
That they don't like vegetables.
Do you wish there was meat back on the menu?
Yes.
Well, and it's overwhelmingly, Curtis, that's the thing I think about when I was in school, and you get something like the gross grilled cheese that you and I both remember so well, you're like, yuck. And the key is to get kids to eat, because a lot of kids sometimes skip meals, they're busy, whatever. The key is to give us incentive. You know, I know so many times you're out there in the cafeteria, you're like, what is that disgusting thing? And if it's like, oh, here's a pile of kale, I might like it now. But I certainly wouldn't have eaten it as a kid. No way.
And it's worse now because of the actions of Letitia James, the public advocate, a useless position, patronage, that's all it generates. And it prepares a person to run for the mayor on the taxpayer's dime. She advocated giving free lunch to everyone in the school system. Even to the kids of those parents who are middle class, upper middle class, and wealthy.
Could it be election year? Could that be one?
Well, that. But everyone now gets a free lunch, and some people get a free breakfast if they come in early enough. You don't even have to quantify or qualify for that any longer. But let's bounce it off of our many listeners out there. How well do you think this program is going to go in turning Mondays in school cafeterias in the public school system in New York, the largest in the nation, into meat-free zones? That means you can only eat a vegetarian meal for your lunch.
And let me say, I think the intention is good. I think, listen, letting kids know it's better to eat more healthy, it's better to think of your choices, I think the intention is good. But I think it's going to go down in flames, just like the whole thing. Remember Donald Trump, as soon as he came in office, he's like, I eat fast foods, let's get rid of Michelle Obama's plan. This is a smaller level of it.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, this could have been introduced in stages. For instance, let's say the typical hamburger that was made available on the cafeteria menu, which always looked like it was horse meat.
Yeah, you could never tell what it was. You're like, what is that disgusting?
Exactly, as opposed to cow meat.
Yeah.
I put an extra piece of lettuce
on it. Pigeon meat,
right,
back to our last topic.
But put an extra piece of lettuce on it, right? And there's your vegetarian application. But to suddenly turn the menu into a meatless situation is going to result in the following, because I've seen it already. Because the food is subsidized by the federal government, and everyone's in favor of that, the farmers, because more of their products are bought. Obviously, everyone up to retail and the wholesale chain, they love it. The schools love it. But you go and you see the custodians afterwards, after a group of students come out of the cafeteria, and the bags are loaded up with all this free food. The kids barely touch the
food. Yeah, they don't want it, right.
And they have to fill your plate. So, for instance, when you're pulling your tray down, you don't get a chance to pick and choose. I just want a yogurt and a banana. That's it. I'm not that hungry. No, you got to take the full entree.
Yeah, they slop it on. It's
right,
like,
so that means the full entree ends up going into a hefty trash bag, put out on the curbside for pickup to be dumped in a landfill in Western Pennsylvania or West Virginia. We got homeless people. We got other people who could badly use this food. And yet we're forced to give the kids food that they don't want to eat, and they don't eat.
Well, that's the whole point. The whole key is to make sure that kids are healthy, that they can learn, that they feel nourished. And the bottom line is they're going to go, yuck, this is disgusting. I remember when I'm sitting there, this is absolutely gross. I'd skip lunch those days, and that's what's going to happen.
And is Comrade Bill de Blasio, like our former mayor Michael Bloomberg, do as I say, not as I do? Remember how he tried to eliminate salt?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, reporters found him at his Seinfeld diner on the Upper East Side. And what was he doing?
The big gulp.
Right. With his bacon and eggs. He was putting extra salt on the eggs.
Well, that's right. Are we going to see, you're right, will he lead by example? Will he go out and only eat veggies, especially on Mondays? Well, let's see if he takes one for the team.
Well, by the time he wakes up in the morning, it's lunchtime anyway.
After his workout and his breakfast. Listen, by the way, on the menu, you got to hear this too, Curtis. On the menu, they said tofu noodles. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. I'm in school, and I'm going to say, oh, I'll take tofu. I know I like tofu, by the way, but I know a lot of adults who can't stand the texture of tofu. And you're telling me a student is going to come in, some guy is going to go, oh, yeah, I'll take the lightly sauteed tofu with a little bit of ginseng on it. Give me a break.
Let's go to Rob in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Bobby?
Hey, what's up there, Curtis and Rita? How you doing?
Good. How you doing? What do you think?
Well, actually, I am driving home right now. I run a lunch program in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Ah, okay.
At a private school. And I did salad twice this year, and I threw out salad twice this year.
Oh, no. What was the reaction?
I feel bad because I try to make some healthy stuff for them, and I wind up throwing it out. So it's never going to work. You're right, it's a ploy just to, you know, hey, look at me, I'm trying to make people eat healthy. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, yes. And it's sad, Rob, to see all those hefty trash bags filled with that good food that's been prepared that could well have been going to a nearby shelter of homeless people or people who are going to a pantry to try to get food because they don't have enough to subsist on. And then we're throwing it into a landfill because we're forcing it on the kids who are just not going to eat it.
There's no way. Now, what do you think, Rob, of Curtis's idea of, like, you know, you give that disgusting-looking burger, but you cover at least with a couple more extra veggies. Maybe you do a little quarter of an inch of lettuce on it. What do you think of that, Rob?
Well, they'll throw the quarter inch of lettuce on the floor and eat the burger.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Anyway, let's go to John, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Johnny?
guys, you are missing the whole diversity of this. I mean, look, Taco Tuesday, Fried Chicken Friday. think of what we can do with this, Curtis. And did you know that the New York City Board of Ed orders its pizza from Illinois? Can you believe that, Curtis? Because I have a kid in school right now.
Wait, John. John, let me ask you, why do they get it from Illinois? What's the background on that? That's wild.
You'd have to ask Curtis. He knows more about the payoff.
No, wait. Because, obviously, like any vendor, and John, because they deal in massive amounts. I mean, we're talking tons by the end of the
Curtis,
year.
Curtis, that's an insult with all the beautiful pizzerias we have in
I get insulted.
Like ordering gefilte fish. That's like ordering gefilte fish from, Turkey? I don't know. I mean, come
Wisconsin.
On.
Wisconsin. No, from Wisconsin.
Right. It depends where it's cheaper. That's the question, too. But does it come there because it's cheaper?
I'm insulted every time I walk in a neighborhood with all the local mom-and-pop pizzerias we have, and I see a Papa John's. First off, I hate that guy. Every time I see him interfering on an NFL broadcast, I want to strangle the guy. But Papa John's?
Yeah, come
on. And I see people going in there, and I'm saying, what are you going to Papa John's? You got Sal's, you got Vinny's, you got the Albanians.
New York makes pizza.
You got the Macedonians.
Best pizza.
You got everyone making pizza here. You got Mexicans making pizza. And what the hell are you going into a Papa John's for?
Because they saw the commercial
and they
took it hook, line, and sinker. New York has the best pizza.
Our number's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Dave calling from Port Jervis. Welcome to Curtis and Rita here at WABC. Dave?
See. No, put it for me. Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen, what they really need to hire is just better cooks. That's the reality that they need to do this.
Actually, there are a lot of good cooks who develop their skills, believe it or not, in prison because they're having to make the food for the mess, you know, the cafeteria when the prisoners come out or if they're being served in their 8x4-foot cells.
Along with license plates.
Yeah, no.
But the other thing that should be done is a lot of the food should be donated to a lot of these pantries and so forth. The fruits that nobody eats, but the kids need to learn that they need to eat fruits. You know, well, guess what? They could put a bin there that they could donate to kids. And the kids can say, I want to donate this to homeless.
Dave, the restaurants do that, but guess what? The Board of Education, dumbest organization ever, refuses to do that. Anything that's uneaten goes right into a hefty trash bag, schlepped out to the curb to be tossed into the back of a sanitation pickup truck and brought to a landfill out in West Virginia or Western Pennsylvania.
Well, and you know why part of that is? They also say it's liability, too, because they don't want to have, if they donate it, and in fairness to some of these places, if you donate it to somewhere and if somebody gets food poisoning or some issue, you could get sued.
Well, what about
so that's
the
why
kids,
they try to get rid of it.
What about the kids who get food poisoning from the blue-haired matrons presentations each day on the menu?
Yeah, and they probably will if they see meatless Mondays.
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa. Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one. Who's bad? It's the President of the United States, Donald Trump, who's taking on all critics.
He's a bad boy.
Right, especially in his own party, starting with Bob Corker, who he's calling the little one like he did Marco Rubio during the campaign, Senator of Tennessee, and Flake from Arizona, and Bush 43 for his speech the other day condemning Trump. And almost anyone else out there who would dare stand up to the president, especially within his party ranks. But Rita Cosby's in the house today. And as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. It's a full-fledged civil war. And the president yesterday, after coming up to the Hill and having lunch with his colleague, Republican colleagues in the U.S. Senate, said they gave me standing ovation after standing ovation. They're all on board to
it's
do tax cuts.
It's a love fest. Love fest was the phrase.
And I'm saying to myself, wait a second. Corker was there. He didn't seem to reflect that.
You would think he would aspire to be the president of the United States and act like a president of the United States. But, you know, that's just not going to be the case, apparently. And, you know, it's up to others who serve in elective capacity, whether they're governors or mayors or senators, to, you know, try to conduct themselves in a manner that is more becoming of a leader.
And then Corker went on to talk about the president as being a bully.
Attempted bullying that he does, which everybody sees through. Just the dividing of our country, the, you know, the name calling. Just, you know, for young people to be watching, not only here in our country, but around the world, someone of this mentality or as president of the United States is something that is, I think, debasing to our country.
And then yesterday, Senator Flake of Arizona took to the well of the U.S. Senate to say he would not run for re-election. And he talked about his children and grandchildren.
The principles that underlie our politics, the values of our founding, are too vital to our identity and to our survival to allow them to be compromised by the requirements of politics. Because politics can make us silent when we should speak, and silence can equal complicity. I have children and grandchildren to answer to, and so, Mr. President, I will not be complicit or silent.
He also has polls, and it just came out recently and even admitted it, Curtis, that he wasn't going to win re-election, too. So it's easy to sit there and throw mud when you know you're not going to win.
Well, he was asked earlier today if he thought that more Republicans would join him and Corker and John McCain and Bush 43.
Bob Corker aside, are your Republican colleagues now in the Senate being complicit by staying silent?
You know, a lot of my colleagues have spoken out, and I think a lot more will. What I tried to say in the speech is the longer we wait, the more we basically normalize this kind of behavior and these kind of politics, and we can't do that. We just can't.
And so these internal civil wars continue. It's almost like a divide and conquer. The president acts like he wants to work with the country club Republicans led by Mitch, I love my Kentucky bourbon, McConnell. But then again, keeps promoting Bannon, who is on the outside looking in and looking for insurgents to challenge the country club Republicans in primaries.
And I don't know also if, I highly doubt it right now, if Jeff Flake is going to be like the mantle boy and all these other people going to follow him. Because if you look at it, I was just looking, you know, a few seconds ago, 41.2 million are the followers for Donald Trump on his real Donald Trump on his Twitter feed. And then on POTUS, you got 20.7. So you got 62 million followers that the president has. And I think if his polls still continue to do well, if they don't have a better alternative for 2020, I think people are going to be afraid to speak out because they're afraid they're going to end up on some tweet in the morning and end up that the president and his 62 million followers are going to trash him.
I'm not sure about that because
we'll see.
What we're looking in.
I think it's too early to say it's going to be a cavalcade.
Yeah,
you know?
But look at what's going on in Alabama. You had Judge Moore.
On the horse.
Roy Moore with the cowboy hat coming in on the horse to vote. Made some real whacked out statements along the way. Didn't even know what DACA was when he was being interviewed by a local talk show host in Alabama. They went on for 5 minutes. He had no idea what DACA was.
But seen as a conservative icon and had the support of Steve Bannon and tepidly had the support of Donald Trump. He supported the other guy, but not really. He also said, look, if Moore gets in, I'm okay.
Yeah, but the problem is because he is such a whack job, Moore, and so out of line with normal thinking, even for those from Alabama who definitely lean right.
I was going to say, Alabama is a very conservative state.
But look at his opponent now, the Democrat in the general election, Doug Jones, who recently said he's tired of Alabama being an embarrassment across the nation. You would have thought that would have eliminated him from consideration. Do you know the most recent poll between the Republican nominee, Judge Moore, and the Democrat, Doug Jones, who was given no chance, is only separated by 1 point?
Yeah, and I think, by the way, I think this year, as we're heading into it, the upcoming year with the midterms, it's going to be a true test of this president in so many ways, because it's all hands on deck. And I've talked to so many Democrats that are like, they are gearing up, because if they can get back the House, if they can get back the Senate, that would be, you know, altering. And look, this president so far has been ineffective at getting legislation passed because of the Senate in particular.
Now, look at Judge Moore, right? The whack job that he is. He was asked about Newtown, the massacre there, and that's resurfaced because we see that the executioner, the teenager, was probably a pedophile.
Right, the new detail. By the way, I covered Newtown, too, and there was there's so many stories on that one.
Remember what Judge Moore said? He said Newtown happened because God was angry. Really?
Yeah. I mean,
does he have a pipeline to God? Does he know what God is talking about? Because, you know, all these guys like Ted Cruz, who has conversations with Jesus. I'm always trying to have a conversation with God, Hashem, Jesus, whoever it is, Allah. You know, I'll have a conversation with anyone, Buddha. They never converse with me. It's almost like, you know, I'm persona non grata. But Judge Moore, he has a conversation. God's angry. That's why this crazy kid executed all those first graders and those teachers at Newtown.
And we hear the same thing from the Pat Robertsons. He's tapping into that Christian conservative side, you know. And you're right. I think the lines are starker than I have ever seen in politics before, because you've got these extremes. You've got the Judge Moore and the Doug Jones. I think it epitomizes sort of where we are right now in the country. And I think this is going to be, if you thought the election was ugly last year, the election campaign, which I covered, soup to nuts from beginning to end, and was on all the, you know, different conventions and the debates and all that stuff, if you thought that was ugly, next year is going to be downright drag out nasty.
And then piling on, it seems in support of Corker, it seems in support of Flake and McCain and Bush 43 was the schmuck. No, make that the putz, Chuck and G. Schumer.
President Trump ought to stop tweeting and start leading. We have shown no leadership from this president, whether it's on tax reform, whether it's on health care, whether it's on North Korea. All he does is tweet and make the problem worse. Americans don't want that.
Well, listen, he does make the problem worse by tweeting. But what do you expect from Chuck Schumer? He's never going to say anything nice about the president unless he, kumbaya, that temporary kumbaya they had.
What kind of a focus group did he put that before he came up with that phrase, he should start leading and stop tweeting?
Yeah, I think that, by the way, I bet we're going to see like every single Democrat using their line. That's their little canned line that they've come up with. And listen, the president's tweets have gone so over the top. I can't believe he continues to tweet and no one holds him back. I think the tweets are effective at certain times, but it's so reckless at other times.
All they ought to do is put on Chinese finger traps on him, whether it's Melania, who sneaks him on at night when he gets the few hours of sleep that he gets, because the president is definitely sleep deprived. He only gets about 3-4 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
Or if it's his chief of staff, General Kelly. Somebody needs to put on those Chinese finger traps. Anyway, I want to hear from Trumpers and Trumpets especially. Is this a good thing that Donald Trump is using Bannon as his shadow warrior to take out the country club Republicans, starting with McCain and obviously Corker and Flake and anyone else who stands in his way, whether it's the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, Mitch McConnell, or it's the Speaker of the House? Is this what you want to see, civil war within the Republican ranks, sort of like vet it all out and then take on the Democrats? Or is this the road to disaster internally for Republicans? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Rich, who's calling from Brooklyn, first up in the queue. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Rich?
Yeah, Doug Jones wound up taking on the Ku Klux Klan in Alabama, and he ended up winning. So, don't take this guy for granted. Now, obviously, that's not going to endear himself to Trump's supporters, because Trump's supporters are white supremacists. But
for the rest
of the Alabamans who have any kind of sense of dignity, this guy Jones could absolutely be a powerhouse.
So wait, now, do you like Doug Jones, and would you vote for him if you had the choice? You're obviously in Brooklyn, but would you vote for him over Judge Moore if you were there?
If I would vote for a piece of fecal matter over Roy Moore.
Roy Moore is one of the
dumbest people that I've ever heard.
Yeah, but Rich,
some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth.
Rich, I want to go back to your original statement, which to me sounded very dumb. You believe that all Trump supporters are white supremacists?
No, I would say about half of them.
They're deplorables. They're deplorables, right?
Rich, come on. He's already come out and he's also condemned that. That's a silly comment. Let's move on to John from Staten Island. You're here with Rita and Curtis on 77 WABC. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I see no problem with that because right now they just exposed themselves, the Republican elite rhinos that didn't do anything what they were supposed to do. So you know what? Time clean house to these multimillionaires. And Flake saying about his grandkids and kids, do me a favor. They stole so much money, these congressmen and senators, that these kids got cash, just a bag full of money somewhere. They don't have to worry about it. It's the middle class that wasn't getting hurt.
So you're saying that you find what, Steve Bannon, refreshing? See, I think, and listen, I've known Steve Bannon a long time. I mean, he is a take-no-prisoners guy. And I think he sees this as an opportunity to really make his mark. And I think Trump felt paralyzed. I mean, if you look what's been going on, my God, Trump can't get anything passed because it goes to the Senate and then it like hits Never Never Land.
Exactly. And these elitist Republicans played with Obama and got us $10 trillion in debt. And nobody can blame nobody except
John,
these guys who are in office.
John, just look at the recent battles over tax reform. Here is Donald Trump again talking about 401ks. And then all of a sudden, there is derision in the ranks of the Republicans. He's floated other ideas that has created derision within his own ranks. When the House passed the repeal of Obamacare, he applauded them, celebrated, raised the roof, had a party on the lawn outside of the White House, and then was quoted as calling it mean legislation, which injured it on its way to the Senate.
It's absolutely confusing.
As much as we say the Republicans have not done their due diligence after years of promising repeal of Obamacare.
Oh, they've been a disaster, Curtis. Come on.
Well,
who's the leader?
Who's the leader of the pack?
Trump is a disaster within the ranks of his own party. It is confusing, but he has to also have somebody working with him. He gets all this stuff, and then it goes. He tees it up, and they go, "Oh, da da."
He tees it up because he doesn't come up with any substance. He gives you a one-piece paper with maybe 7 points, and then he leaves it to Ryan or Mitch McConnell to figure out the details.
Well, that's
he's got staff.
Let me tell you,
he should have a bill that's presented to them instead of them complaining afterwards that they didn't come up with the right bill, and that's why it didn't pass, and there are a bunch of slackers and deadbeats.
Well, and I am shocked that Mitch McConnell is still there, to your point, because he has, time and time again, he and Paul Ryan have said, we got the votes.
Yeah, but what happens?
They don't have the votes.
Trump then does something to upset that by either attacking someone who's borderline or who is vacillating by tweeting about them.
But sometimes that happens after the fact, too. If you look at some of it.
His attacks on Republicans have gotten him nothing. He hasn't passed a major piece of legislation, even though he's had a majority in the House and the Senate, because he's vicious in his attacks.
Yeah.
And John McCain is a perfect example.
Yeah, well, and listen, what he did with John McCain, I agree with you, was inexcusable when he did that early in the campaign.
So when McCain came to the floor of the Senate.
But you got to have a
put
team.
Thumbs down. What do you think that was? That was an F you to Trump.
Absolutely. And that's what Jeff Flake is doing.
Every senator that he burns, which he's burning them now el rapido, they're all going to be at a point where they're a decisive vote and they're going to go thumbs down and they're going to burn Donald Trump.
But then that burns their own party too. So then you are self-destructing.
They decide not to run for re-election, and Trump is going to have to answer for the fact that he can't get anything done.
But guess what? You got a lot of young people in there. It's easier when it's a McCain, who of course has had some health problems too, which is very tragic. But when you got these young senators in there who are going, okay, well, you know, and that's why I think right now, do not underestimate Donald Trump. I agree he has made some terrible mistakes. And those tweets, some of those tweets and the self-destructing is just incredible to watch.
Our numbers.
On the other hand, you sit there and you go, wait a minute. Are you going to ride with somebody who's in office? He is still the president, and there's a lot of power behind that presidency.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Rita Cosby in the House. And civil war has infected the ranks of Republicans in the Senate versus the president and his Darth Vader warrior, who's now on the outside doing his work, Steve Bannon. Let's go to John in New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Johnny.
Hey, how are you, Curtis? How are you?
I've had better days.
I'm a retired Union Iron Worker of 45 years, a Democrat my whole life. But I think people are underestimating this Donald Trump. I really do. You know, he's not a politician. You know, he's a businessman, and he's going to win. You know,
yeah, and listen, I think so too, John. Look what happened during the campaign. I mean, everybody was writing him off, and he clobbered them.
He's a tough dude. Curtis, you're tough. You know, you're in New York tough. You know, this guy, you know, he's got this banyan out there, and he's picking these people off, you know. And you know what? There's going to be no internal fighting because there's going to be nobody left to fight. He's going to get rid of them all.
John.
You can't get rid of Congress. You can push him.
You've got to understand an incumbent, as much as I hate this, has a built-in advantage when they've already been in office. They almost never lose. When you have someone brand new running for the office, particularly if it's a Republican replacing a Republican, that gives an advantage to the Democrat insurgent who might have had a much tougher time against the incumbent. There's only so many wars you can wage at one time. I'm a street warrior, and you got to pick and choose your battles. But you can't fight the Democrats, fight your own Republicans, fight the world, fight your own internal advisors in the West Wing simultaneously and not come out there, not come out of it battered and bruised.
Well, I think Donald Trump thinks he can overcome anything, and maybe he's naive at that. Let's go to John, by the way. John, you're here with Rita and Curtis on 77 WABC. What do you think?
Well, I'm in my 80s, and I've semi-retired industrial designer. I've had clients that were Fortune 500 companies. I've had mavericks, and I'm calling them a maverick, like Donald Trump. A guy like Trump, these heads of corporations don't pass legislation. What they do is they give a mandate. They expect guys, if they pay $210,000, $215,000, $220,000, $230,000, $240,000 a year to do a job, and they come back with solutions. And that's basically how businessmen work.
They and John, they expect when someone tells you, i.e. Mitch McConnell, i.e. Paul Ryan, hey, we have enough votes to pass it, you trust that they're honest,
right,
too.
But
you trust it.
When the president goes out and sabotages that vote by picking on Republicans who are vacillating, which then pushes them into the no column, he has only himself to blame.
Well, and I think he is used to dealing with a lot of enemies, and he's like, bring it on, baby.
Well, he's not going to get his agenda.
Naive. And listen, I think it's going to be the nastiest year coming up in politics
not
that
we've
ever
Democrats.
Seen. Not for the Democrats.
Democrats,
you're right,
they're just sitting back.
But they got to get it together, too, because you can't just go out there and say, I don't like Trump.
Well, you know, there's so
That's
much damage being done internally by Republicans to Republicans. They could actually win the midterm elections without having an agenda, just because people get sick and tired of the juvenile, sophomoric attitude that this president has towards everyone. 1-800-08, we're going to move now. And believe it or not, we're not going to talk about Harvey Weinstein. We're not going to talk about Bill O'Reilly, Ken Duffy. We're going to talk about this allegation against Bush 41. In his 90s.
93.
In his wheelchair, next to his wife, and this actress claims that he perved her and sexually harassed her.
No. She said sexually assaulted. That's one step further.
Recently?
Bush 41.
Yes. Bush 41 recently when he's 93 with his wife in a picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to stay tuned for this one.
All right.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC. Nasty boys.
Nasty. Nasty boys. I don't ever change. 1:40 as we continue with Rita Cosby in the house today. We've heard all about Harvey Weinstein every day. New allegations of him perving and raping women.
And by the way, a very serious one yesterday with this woman in New York, too, who came forward with Gloria Allred, no doubt.
Right, with so many perv moments in his career. That boy from Flushing, a nebbishy schlubby guy, suddenly becomes a mogul in Hollywood and has his casting couch.
You think it goes back to his mother?
Oh, I think so. I think you could try him and Bob. Nebushi Schlubby boys from Flushing, I bet you it was because they had a domineering mother. I would bet you. But anyway, put that aside. We've certainly seen the reemergence of the perv, Bill O'Reilly, and the settlement he had with Liz Wheel for $32 million, and his protestations that he is being victimized, targeted, and he hasn't done anything wrong.
He's blaming it on God now. He said, why did God do this to me, basically?
Right. We certainly know the life and times of the perv who was the former president, Bill Clinton. And it goes on and on and on. But recently, Woody Allen, a perv in his of his own right, said, I hope this doesn't lead to a witch hunt. And a lot of us said, come on. There's so many of you guys out there who take advantage of your power positions as men of influence. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Although Woody Allen is not the barometer of wisdom on that department.
No, but in this case, he may have been correct. Check this out. An AMC actress claims that the former president, George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, groped her from his wheelchair during a screening of her TV series, Turn Washington Spies. She posted a lengthy piece on Instagram just yesterday when she said she was disturbed after seeing a photo of President Obama with Bush 41. She said, I found it disturbing because I recognize the respect ex-presidents are given for having served. But I want to let you know that when I met George H.W. Bush 4 years ago to promote this historical television show I was working on, he sexually assaulted me while I was posing for a similar photo.
This is the most outrageous claim I've ever heard. And when you hear it, too, it's this actress. Her name is Heather Lind. And she says in this picture that he told her a dirty joke and that he touched her inappropriately. And this is while Barbara Bush is right next to him. Look, give me a break.
This is what she posted on Instagram. She said, Bush 41 didn't shake my hand. He touched me from behind right on my tuchus from his wheelchair.
Have you seen the guy, by the way, at this latest hurricane, you know, benefit?
Yeah, he can barely move.
He can barely move. I mean, he probably didn't know what he was touching if he touched her in the wrong spot by accident. Come on.
And you're right. He said that Barbara Bush was right there. He then told me a dirty joke. And then, all the while being photographed, touched me on my tuchus again.
All right, so listen, when I was out on the book tour, I had a whole bunch of old geezers once in a while accidentally cop a feel. I think when you're over 90, you get a pass. That's my rule.
So she said that Barbara Bush's wife rolled her eyes as if to say, oh, no, not again. And his security guard comes up and tells me I shouldn't have stood next to him for the photo. She claimed that Bush 41, in a wheelchair, in his 90s, sexually assaulted her at the viewing of the first showing of her TV series, Turn Washington's Spies.
Now, this seems like clearly somebody who just doesn't like Republicans, doesn't like the Bushes, because I'm a big believer, and listen, when I, you know, I was in Washington, I was senior correspondent for Fox in Washington. I'm a big believer, however you feel politically, you got to give the president his deference. You call him Mr. President. And I would always say that if it was President Obama, President Bush, whoever it was, President Clinton, that's the office. The office deserves respect. And she said, quote, we were instructed to call him Mr. President, as if that's something he doesn't deserve to be. He was the president. It seems to me a president's power is in his or her capacity for positive change. Like, she's the barometer on if somebody's president or not. This is ridiculous.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe these allegations by this young actress, Heather Lind, that Bush 41, while in a wheelchair at the age of, it would have been just about 90, with his wife next to him and a security guard, sexually assaulted her?
And she claims that, by the way, Barbara kind of looked and said, oh, not again, gave this kind of eyes look of like, oh, he's doing it again. Come on, he's 93. I think he did not know what he was touching. And like you said,
he might not have even known where he was.
Yeah, he might not know what country he was in. Come
on. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, with all the real pervs and predators out there who still exist, you would think there are enough women who have come forward and still haven't named their attackers.
And that happens a lot. And when you go through something like that, I talked about the other day on Monday, you know, my case where I had somebody who was a boss who crossed the line, and I addressed it with him. And I have a lot of compassion for victims, but this is way over the top. And this also comes, by the way, Curtis, the headline, I thought my jaw dropped on this one. It was hundreds of women have now accused this other actor. You talked about Harvey, but James Toback, the director, has now been accused. It's by 200 women have said he's...
Easily. Easily. He's a perv. And everybody knew it and said nothing. Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Joe?
Hey, hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Joe.
Many years ago, my mom and dad met George Bush when he was the UN ambassador in what do they call that line when he's saying hello to everybody?
The receiving line. The receiving line.
She said, not only was the man unbelievably good looking and tall, but she said he was such a perfect gentleman, so kind. She said that was the biggest turn on of all. And there would be no way that you could tell my mom what this Heather Lynn woman is saying. She said he was just absolutely the nicest gentleman that you could ever, ever meet with perfect manners.
And by the way, I have also met George H.W. Bush. I have interviewed George H.W. Bush. And, you know, again, everybody's different with everyone, but he has an absolutely great reputation. There were those rumors, remember, like I remember that he had some relationships and all that.
I could see
stuff.
That. I could easily see that.
But I have never heard sort of in recent years anything inappropriate. And to me, this came as a shock to me.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Bobby from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Bobby?
Oh, hey, Curtis. Hi, Rita.
Hey, Bob.
Wait, I just want to talk to you about one thing, and then I want to make my comment about George Bush. Rita, you said about we have to have respect for the White House, the office. Let me explain to you. We all, as Americans, we the people, have to get that mindset out of our head.
Why?
These people, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Wait a minute. These people work for us. We pay their salaries. They work for us. They use that office. It's our office. And if they disrespect that office, we the people have to hold them accountable and put them on trial and find them guilty and impeach them and get them out. And it don't matter who it is.
And okay, listen, and wait, hold on a second, Bobby. I agree with you that they work for us, and that is absolute. Yes. On the other hand, if somebody is the president of the United States, I also think that we have to send a message that we at least respect the office. You don't want to have full out mutiny. I mean, come on. And if somebody has done something wrong, you bet we got to go after them, that they do work for us. On the other hand, they are the president of the United States. I hate when I see people go, oh, Obama or blank, blank, blank. There's something I think, I come from old school, and I still appreciate whoever's in that office. Whether I agree with them or not, that's different.
Let's go to May from Cliffside Park. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. May?
Hi, thank you for having me on. Huge fan, Curtis, huge fan. I think it's super offensive to say that because he's over 90, it's okay and he gets a pass. And I find it, like, so upsetting to listen to a woman laughing at another woman, dismissing another woman. This is why people don't report.
But let me ask you, Mae, this is different, though. And I'm a big supporter of women, and I think, and I have had people cross the line with me, and I think it's shameful, and I think I'm happy to see that women are now speaking out. But don't you find this story a little odd if you just listen to the circumstances of this story?
I don't find it odd at all, and I think that it's terrible to assume that a woman is lying when she's come forward and she has nothing to benefit from it. And also, 41 released a statement apologizing.
He apologized for the dirty joke, though. That's different. He apparently said some dirty joke to her, and he said, I apologize. He can't even speak, by the way.
He's in his 90s.
It's his spokesperson who's doing the apologizing.
Is this the best example to bring to the world's attention that a guy in a wheelchair next to his wife, next to a security guard, sexually assaulted her? Do you know what sexual assault is, May?
I know what sexual assault is. I'm actually a stand-up comedian with cerebral palsy, and when I get photo ops with my fans, I have to cross my arms so that they don't grab my boobs. So, yeah, I've had a lot of experience with it. So I think the fact that he's in a wheelchair, the fact that he's older, doesn't make it okay, doesn't mean that he doesn't know what he's doing. still, we don't have another witness, so it is her and him. But I think it's really
disturbing. Yeah, and who are you going to give the benefit of the doubt to? Bush 41 in a wheelchair, who doesn't even know where he is of late, or a woman who all of a sudden accuses him, while in the company of others, of having sexually assaulted her when he's shown no history or predilection to do this?
Well, and the other issues, too, is in this case, it's with a group of people. Even if you hear her story, her version of the events, there were all these other people standing around. It's not like they were suddenly, she was suddenly thrown into a bathroom or something like that happened. And listen, sexual assault is a serious matter, but this one sounds a little fishy to me.
Sounds like garbage. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa from the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of two, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. Rita Cosby in the house today, and that song by Coldplay, Ruling the World, might as well be the anthem for Jeff Bezos and Amazon, because they really want to run everything lock, stock, and barrel, and I really hate them. I loathe them.
This, to me, is scary, too, I think, Curtis.
Well, the idea is, as you know, right now, because so much of what they send out is sent either through the United Postal Service of the post office, and that's kept them afloat. As you know, they were heading towards insolvency. But all these additional trucks that are going out doing deliveries, especially on the weekend when you see the Postal Service worker, that's mostly Amazon packages. And then naturally they use UPS and other carriers. Jeff Bezos has said, what do I need a third party here? We could do our own in-house deliveries, but we're going to do it in a novel way. Dubbed the Amazon Key, you would get this on an app. It's a new $249.99 system that would allow you, the consumer, to control and monitor deliveries and other services remotely in and out of your house or your place of business.
I think this is frightening. It's allowing people to go into your home when you're not there. To me, this is just, I think, a formula for theft.
Well, it would enable indoor drop-offs to customers as the company handles more of its own shipments. Already the company has added lockers in apartment buildings in which they can put the packages in it. And the main reason they're doing this, and I kind of understand why they would move in this direction. I caught some of these porch pirates having done this out in Long Island last year, particularly around the holidays, right after Thanksgiving with that Christmas rush. A lot of these package service delivery agents, if they can't get access inside of the place of business or the home, they'll just leave it out on the porch, or they'll leave it out wherever it is that they feel it's safe and secure. But it's still easily accessible to anybody who just wants to pick up the package and run.
And it's also bad weather, too, because we're heading into bad weather. So many times, like, I got a package, I remember the other day, and it was raining, and, I picked it up at a friend's house, and it's sopping wet because it was sitting on the porch. I think they tried to make best efforts, but it's drenched. So I think some of it is also, okay, the packages are going to come cleaner, and to your point, they're going to actually make it to you.
And they want to eventually add access for service providers like dog walkers, maids, everyone else. So would you be willing to give Amazon or any company this kind of access into your home in order to do deliveries?
I think this is a complete invasion. I think at some point we got to say, come on, technology. This is over the line.
In order to provide dog walkers access, maids access. And what they're saying is that they would introduce a connected door lock and security camera system so that you could actually, from wherever you were, whatever location or venue you were at, you could actually see the package carriers as they were coming into your home, or guests, or eventually dog walkers or maids or anyone else who was trying to get access in and out of your apartment or your place of business.
Yeah, you can watch it either live or you can watch it afterwards. But here's the catch. This is interesting. They have that security camera, right, that's looking over. And they say, okay, when they, what they do is they scan it. They'll have a code. That a code allows the person to come in. And then here's the catch, Curtis. It says, after leaving, the delivery person taps the phone again to lock the door. So you're trusting that, first of all, maybe you can watch it, but that person you're trusting, that person's going to have to, you're trusting some delivering person who you don't even know is going to scan it correctly, have the right bar, they're going to be honest, they're going to go in, and then they're going to come out, and then they're going to lock your home? Give me a break.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, while all of this innovation is going on as Jeff Bezos tries to control every aspect of our lives, they are putting on a dog and pony show and going into states and counties and cities all throughout the United States, in which they want to build their new distribution centers.
Right.
So it's become sort of like this, almost like an insatiable desire on the part of local officials to wine them, dine them, and pocket line them to come to their community.
Because they hear Amazon and they think ka-ching, 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 and it's not Beatle mania, it's Bezos mania. They're enamored by them.
Well, we've seen the elected officials out in Staten Island. They want a distribution center there. There have been offers made from throughout the five boroughs, the surrounding suburban areas. And get this, even the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the governor has made a pitch to Amazon that they should put one of their distribution centers on the destroyed island of Puerto Rico. And he thinks he has an opportunity at getting an opportunity to at least be heard by Jeff Bezos.
And by the way, Jeff Bezos may do it. It's a cachet to have Amazon in your community. That's what it's all about. But Jeff Bezos may do it, given the fact he might not have thought about it before, but maybe he thinks it's good public relations to do it now.
Well, the next time you happen to be in Bergen County, the mall capital of the world, and you see a lot of the anchor stores gone, and you see a lot of the secondary stores gone from the malls, and you want to praise Amazon and continue to shop with Amazon, go ahead.
Well, that's continue, what saddens me.
Continue to help destroy the mom-and-pop shops, the retail sector, all those establishments. Lord & Taylor no longer exists. They're going to be
so
closed
sad.
Up. What, are they becoming a storage center there?
Well, and my mom worked at a small drugstore in Connecticut for years and years and years. And then suddenly, of course, it's all the big ones that are buying them out. And you see, and they're such a nice personal. I mean, everybody knew my mom's name. Everybody, she knew their name. That doesn't happen anymore. We become high-tech and impersonal, and it saddens me.
Our number's 1-800-848-WABC to Brian in Rockland. Brian, would you let Amazon have your key so that they could bring packages in and out of your place of residence?
See, what you know, that's a little iffy, but I have now. I have, like, you know, my security cameras, and I have AT&T Digital Life, and I let plumbers in. I have indoor cameras.
Now, what do you do to protect yourself? Because you could have the cameras, but if they do something, but who's to say, you know, who's to say the guy comes in and you don't really see what they look like, or and they're still scanning something while they're there? Maybe you don't even see it on the video.
That's the only thing with the Amazon, the scanning issue. I mean, when a plumber comes to my door, I unlock the door. I could physically hit the button, unlock it for him. They don't have control to unlock my door. That's the only issue.
Yeah, and isn't it scary, Brian? What I was just saying, too, is that after they leave, the delivery person tags the phone again. They're the ones in charge of the locking,
yeah,
too.
Correct.
It's like,
yeah.
What if they suddenly forget, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where I'm actually able to lock the door from from wherever I am. That's my only issue.
Now, don't you feel like it's a little creepy, though, Brian? Somebody comes in the house. I don't like it. I don't like people to be in my house.
I mean, it's sometimes it's convenient. Plumber.
Now, Brian. Brian, are you married?
Yes, sir.
Does that enable you to lock the door and keep your wife out?
I try.
Because that's happened to me. You know, one of my many live-in girlfriends actually changed the locks on me and kicked me to the curb.
Well, what did you do, Curtis, this time to
what did
deserve
I do?
That one?
I actually voted for all Republicans in an election, and this happened to be the Queensboro president, Melinda Katz, a hardcore Democrat, and she just kicked me right. Now, obviously, it was for other reasons. We weren't getting along.
Yeah, I was going to say,
but that was the straw that broke the cat's back.
So imagine you'd be kicked out left and right. Can you imagine be like, click, 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 Curtis is coming over.
Exactly. And I'm good at picking locks, too. But, hey, once you lock me out, that's it. You kick me out, I'm out. Let's go to Nick in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Nikki.
Good afternoon. Okay, listen, ex-carrier from Brooklyn.
No, wait. Now, where were you a carrier, Nick?
In Brooklyn.
No, but what did you do? What carrier for what? Mail carrier or what carrier?
A carrier would be a postal.
All right. Now, there's a couple different carriers, but okay, well, postal carrier. That's what I'm asking.
A courier would be UPS, FedEx, and all the others. Anyhow.
Now, we got the mail lingo.
You cannot, nowadays, trust any package being left anywhere because the delivery, when you look at the package itself, it's noted on the top, carrier leave if no response. That means they leave it anywhere. In a building, I live in a building. Memorial Day weekend, there were 45, 50 packages on the floor in the lobby, unattended packages. Anybody could walk away with them. I wouldn't trust anybody with my coats or my doorbell, leave a package anywhere.
So what's the solution, Nick? So what do we do to fix this?
Oh, very simple. The carrier has to leave a notice, and you have to either call back and have a redelivery to a secure place or a secure person, relative, neighbor, whoever.
Nick, that'll never work.
It's
that'll
so inconvenient. Never work. That's you inconvenient.
You want to know something? That was never a problem years ago, okay? Amazon is overflooding FedEx, UPS, Postal Service. They got their own people delivering, and they're not delivering properly because they're not trained how to deliver.
Well, that's the problem.
If you're not home, old school, I'm leaving it with your neighbor or I'm leaving you a notice.
The problem is, and Nick, I agree with you. It's sort of, what else do you do to protect yourself? On the other hand, you know, we have gotten into such a convenient society where people just want everything to be easy, delivered right to them. It ain't going to work. I agree with you, Curtis. People are not going to go, okay, well, I'm going to spend the hour and go to the post office and pick it up.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Kimberly in Pennsylvania. Would you trust Amazon with your keys so they could have entry into your home so they can deliver their packages, Kimberly?
Hi, everyone. No, I would not. I grew up in Bergen County, so I understand what you're talking about with the changes in the malls. But I think someone walking into your home without you being there is just unacceptable.
Let me ask you, too, Kimberly, do you feel different as a woman? I don't know. For me, I'm curious, do you think women feel even more strongly about this? I feel very strongly. I would not want it.
No, I absolutely not. It's asinine.
Now, how old are you, Kimberly?
I'm sorry?
How old are you, Kimberly?
I will be 50 in January.
Okay, you see, you're in an age group like ours, the baby boomers. I'm 63. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, Rita.
No, I'm 52. But, all over Wikipedia. If I sneeze, it's on Wikipedia. And my favorite color's red, everybody.
All right, so we're all in the same circle, so we are all old school. But I bet you millennials and hipsters like Brian Mongolucci there and the invader from Alabama with so many other invaders, Justin B. Love, our producer and phone screener, they would give up their keys to Amazon in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they wouldn't think twice. So what is it? We with age, we're seasoned?
They would give up their keys to Jose, the illegal alien, delivering the two pizzas for one deal that they get with a coupon.
Well, I've taken a look at Justin B. Love. He'd pay him to do that, I think. You know, he'd say, come on into my house. Come on.
Let's go to John from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Johnny.
Hey, listen, Curtis, I would not let them come inside their house for nothing in the world. That's no good.
So even
propose something like that.
So what do you suggest, Johnny? Did you hear our prior caller was saying go old school?
I work for Amazon.
Oh, you do?
For 2 weeks delivering. Yeah, it's a hassle. I'm not going to get into it.
All right, wait. So actually, Johnny, let me ask you, because you have an interesting point, because you said you work for Amazon. What kind of people work for Amazon? So who could be coming to our door?
You get hired, because they got subcontractors, so you get hired, and then they give you, like, maybe 2 week training, and you go to, like, let's say, a seminar for, like, 8 hours, and they show you the ins and outs of the deliveries. But after 3 weeks, I said, no, this is not for me. But anyway, I was figuring they maybe put some boxes in places where they do a lot of deliveries, or some boxes or something, and have people key for the boxes or something like that, and people would go and open and get their packages. But people going inside your house, that's going to create problems
for
the delivery.
So it's like you're suggesting a mailbox center, which exists in some parts of the country.
Yeah, but then it's inconvenient. People aren't going to buy that either.
No.
That's inconvenient.
But clearly, millennials and hipsters, because they're so hopelessly naive, and they believe in technology.
Yeah, they want it to be easy. Here you go.
So they can grow barnacles on their backside.
But other thing John just said, too, he said, look, I had 2 weeks training. Okay, I'd be curious to know what kind of training do they have? And what are they taught to, if you go into, especially if you're going into people's homes? Okay, here you go, check. Oh, you got a nice shirt. Okay, great. We'll make you a delivery man. What are the qualifications?
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
Speaking of hipsters and millennials, the invader from Alabama, our producer and phone screener, Justin B. Love, you get deliveries to your home by Amazon?
Yeah, they deliver my groceries, Amazon Fresh, once a week, every Monday.
And he said he saves money.
Yeah, it saves me money.
And you would have no problem giving them the keys to your apartment.
Well, the only way I give them the key to the apartment is if they put the groceries in my refrigerator.
And cook? Do you need them to cook it for you, too?
Well, no, I can do that. But if I just label the fridge where the milk goes, where the hot sauce goes, here's where you put the meat, the vegetables, that would win me over.
You know,
I would give him my key.
You would.
You ought to send an email to Jeff Bezos, because he'll probably want to do that in trying to take over the world.
I mean, it's the only way I would do it, because I'm so lazy.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Aren't you freaked out of somebody being in your house? I would definitely not want them in my house. On the other hand, you know, I prefer someone to cook for me than me do the cooking. I'm a non-traditional gal.
You have proven my point as a hipster millennial. Lazy, naive. Here are the keys to my house.
Cheap, too.
Here are the keys to my car. Here's the keys to my house. And by the way, here's my passbook to my savings account also.
Well, that's why this idea may work.
Green Point Savings Bank.
There's the example. It may work because of him.
Oh, is that old school? Green Point Savings Bank. Anyway, let's go to Mike in Bergen County. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. Be here at WABC. Mikey?
Hey, Curtis, how you doing?
I've had better days, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Hey, it's got to be better without Kubi, though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I'm much better looking than Kubi. Much better, don't you think, Curtis? Please.
My dog's butt is better looking.
Yeah, that's right. It's a low bar.
I work across from one of the Amazon distribution centers.
And?
We have all the fans come racing out. I wouldn't let any of those people into my house.
Yeah, no, what do they look like? And by the way, there probably are some good folks working for Amazon, but are they some kind of scary people there?
It's youth. It's the workforce that's youth. I mean, they all have their phones in their hands. They all drive like maniacs. You know, they cut people off. They cut their parking lots.
Well, you know why? That's because some of them have to get there within X hours. You know, they have some of these plans where it's like, okay, you got X. It's like dominoes. You got to get up there in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, except you see them bunched up at the convenience stores and the gas stations.
So are these the kind of people, are these the people you'd say, okay, I'll let you unlock my house? And would you trust them to know enough and to remember to lock it on the way out?
Yeah, well, I mean, they certainly got playing with their phones down, I'll tell you that.
Oh, there's no doubt. And again, this is all part of Jeff Bezos, the brains behind Amazon to control the world. Just remember that, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a total invasion, I think, of your privacy. I would never do it. I know what Justin B. Love would say, yes, but I would never do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, I bet you Ken Duffy would do that.
Yeah, he would. Well, he's a gamer.
While watching a Met game, he'd probably say, just don't disturb me. Just, you know, drop everything off here. I'm watching the Mets lose again, but, you know, just leave me in my depressed state. Anyway, let's go to Giuseppe Joe,
ouch,
who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC, Giuseppe.
Hey, good afternoon. Two things. Number one, I'll give Jeff Bezos the keys to my house when he gives me the keys to his.
Ah, oh, those are fighting words. All right.
Yeah. Number two, I got a perfect solution for all of this. It's called get your ass out of the house, walk to the store, say hello to your neighbors on the way, stop in, maybe have a beer at the local establishment, get to know people in your neighborhood, pick up your package and walk home, and forget this nonsense, because people are losing the ability to communicate with each other and to socialize with each other.
Joe, bravo.
Step along the way.
I agree with you, Joe. Bravo. Because I think we've gotten so lazy and so impersonal. And you know what I hate? I'll tell you, I was out to dinner last night, and I'm looking over at the table next to me, and there are like three people who weren't even talking to each other. They're on their iPhones. That's all they do. My rule is when I'm out, I mean, unless it's like breaking news or whatever, or something urgent or whatever, I'm looking. That's the only other thing. I don't want to see people on the iPhones the whole time. Talk to each other.
I'm telling you, I can feel the vibes from Ken Duffy. He'll probably love Amazon's newest creation where the drones are delivering your $5 cup of stale coffee from Starbucks, right? You'll like that, right?
He's a gamer.
No, not really. It's kind of weird.
Oh, you like going to Starbucks?
Yeah, getting it in my hand and walking out with it.
Actually, I can attest because Ken walks by my office every day and I see him get the Starbucks.
He's got it right now.
He has even been a gentleman. He's even offered to buy it for me. That's a gentleman.
Picked up many a coffee.
What's those beads of what looks like could be maybe bourbon or some kind of liquor that's
why do you think
he's
so happy?
Your beverage?
Well, it's my little secret.
Yes. But anyway,
the secret sauce.
You're going to tell us about that crook, that D.A. Spoda, getting cold busted
out
in Suffolk County. I want to applaud you for this because that guy was term limited and he fought for an additional 4 years and maybe he'll get four or more in a federal camp fed. Yeah,
tied to a police chief, too.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Why are we playing this pedophile on a pedestal, Michael Jackson? Oh, because it's got a Halloween theme. Anyway, Rita Cosby in the house.
Let me first defend Michael Jackson, because I like Michael Jackson. He was a good guy.
Good guy. Yeah, with his Jesus juice there and his pedophile ways.
My favorite, by the way, I just told you, I came upon this on social media the other day, this picture of you when you walked in my office, and I have a picture of me and Michael. And here you are with your son, but you said, look at Rita with the pedophile.
Exactly. I would have thrown it out of the window here on the 17th floor of Madison Square Garden. But speaking of the 17th floor, we have stage 17 here, in which just yesterday, Rita Cosby not only interviewed, but was able to get Charlie Daniels to put on a great performance for a lot of our listeners. And guess who's coming to stage 17? In fact, I see Brian Mangalucci. One of these degenerate Met fans is going to be wearing his throwback Met Mike Piazza Italian Stallion number 31 jersey. I see Ken Duffy there will be wearing his L.A. Dodger gear when he was an L.A. Dodger. And even the producer of the Mark Levin show, Rich Cemento, will be wearing the when he briefly played with Miami there in transition. Because they're sycophants, toadies, and lackeys of Mike Piazza.
Let me also, by the way, Mike Piazza is an interesting guy. I interviewed Mike Piazza about a year ago and ran the interview here on WABC. And he's actually a pretty interesting guy. Some of these guys are one-dimensional ball players. He's got a couple layers to him.
Yeah,
you guys are going to like him.
Ask him about his love of ballet and how he's been a ballerina of late in his retirement.
By the way, I know, isn't it? That shocked me. He's got some interesting twists in his life.
That says something about Mike Piazza. Anyway,
he's going to be here. I met his wife.
Yeah, I know. Playboy Bunny, the whole nine yards.
I met his wife.
And I think he lives in Alpine, where they don't have any addresses along the Palisades Parkway in Bergen County. In fact, try to go trick-or-treating there. They'll run you out. Anyway, he's going to be here October 30th at 6 p.m. And you could be at stage 17 and have your picture taken with the Italian Stallion, Mike Piazza. But the only way to win is you got to listen all week to Bernie and Sid from 9 to 12. You got to listen to me here from 12 to 3 for your chance to join Mike Piazza in stage 17 and get your picture, your flick taken. Call now, 212-268-WABC. That's 212-268-WABC. Or go to WABCradio.com right now and enter today. Seating is limited. Now, speaking of Halloween and extravaganzas, out in Ocean County in New Jersey, in the town of Weartown, along Meissen Way. At one particular house, the owners there have set up a fake crime scene with a body pinned against a tree by a white car with blood dripping down from it. Constant blood flow. And it's caused a lot of consternation. In fact, police in Ocean Township say they were inundated with calls complaining the display on Meissen Way in Weartown is inappropriate. Others have said they love it. In fact, they've been queuing up in front of the house to watch it. They brought family and friends. And almost like having like a party-style scenario in advance of next Tuesday's Halloween extravaganza. In fact, let's go to the audio tape provided by Channel 2 News.
I think it's awesome. I really do. I don't know what the problem is. It's Halloween. Have fun.
I think it's too much.
Too much?
Yeah, we have a lot of young kids here and families. I think it's a little bit too much.
I think it's great. I love it. I think it's fun. I don't understand people have issue with it, but, you know, to each his own.
People are being oversensitive about it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Halloween.
I think it's a little creepy if you look at the picture, because it's not like sometimes, you know, you go by and you're like, okay, it's obviously Halloween. It's funny. There's like little Halloween decorations. This is all like cordoned off. It looks just like I've been to a lot of crime scenes as a journalist.
Sure.
This looks just like a crime scene. I think it's a little over the top.
So it's not like a haunted house.
No, it's not like a haunted house. And if you're just driving by and suddenly you see this crime scene tape, sadly, you know, in this day and age, there's a lot of crime scene all over the country. And you're driving by, it looks like it's a crime scene. It's too much like a crime scene. I think it's creepy.
Well, I'd love to hear from anyone down in Ocean County. We got a lot of listeners there. If, in fact, you've actually passed by Meissen Way in Weartown and actually seen the fake crime scene with a body pinned against a tree by a white car with blood constantly dripping down from it outside one of the houses decorated for Halloween. And, you know, this happens back-to-back, belly-to-belly, Rita. Both during Halloween and Christmas.
Well, that's what I was going to say. People are always trying to kind of one-up, and you see these houses. I remember growing up, one of my neighbors would have, like, I don't think there was, like, 1 inch of the house that didn't have a light on it, but you knew that that was celebrating Christmas. And that's where I'm all for celebrations. I'm a big believer in going out. I can party like the rest of them. I think you know that. You've seen me in action. But I sit here and I look at this, and this to me just makes me very uncomfortable because it's got the real tape. It's too real looking. It's a little, it's creepy.
Well,
I think it's too much.
Let's find out from our many listeners out there. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. And even if you're not down in Orange, Ocean County, and you haven't seen the house that we've described, I'm sure in the annals of your experiences, you've come across houses decorated either for Halloween or Christmas that you felt were like completely off the hook, either because they were attracting too many crowds into the neighborhood and, you know, people were like queuing up as if they were at Great Adventure, you know, going on one of those rides, or you just didn't like the fact that the lights were blazing almost 24/7, 365 and causing a meltdown of your nearby nuclear power plant.
Although, see, I think they're grouches, too. You know, you sit there and there's the bah humbug people, like you're saying, and go, oh, I don't want it's too much attention, it's too much that. This, to me, is different because if you look at this, this looks just like an actual crime scene. I think it's over the top. It's creepy. I think it just, and, you know, there's one guy I was seeing in the story. They were saying, you know, my brother was hit by a hit and run, and this is hit too close to home. I mean, it's just, I feel like sometimes it's too much. I don't mind if you go, hey, ha ha, hoo, this is funny. This is, obviously it's Halloween. If you drive by this, you think it's an actual crime scene. It's like, you know, special victims unit in your neighborhood.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. I remember as a kid running through Canarsie, the places you avoided on Halloween were the lanes. You know, you would have streets, you have avenues, and then you would have these little lanes. They weren't cul-de-sacs, but they were lower than the street level. And there was one, Eldridge Lane, in which the house looked like a haunted house, like it was the Munster's house. What was that, Mockingbird Lane? I forget what that was.
Yep.
On Eldridge Lane, and it had a crawl space underneath. And we thought that there were dead bodies that were stored under the crawl space because on Halloween, they would put together these almost like dummies. and they would be holding their hands out as if they were like zombies.
Right, but that looked a little different than this. Looks so realistic, and that's what I think is so scary about that. You know, this looks like an actual body sort of laying there. It's not like a zombie where you're going, okay, well, and you can see as a little kid, I remember there were areas that I would go and you're like, oh, we're not going to go in that backyard. That guy looked like a Halloween character 24/7.
Exactly.
You know, there's always the creepy neighbor.
He'd be dressed like a hillbilly, you know, with one tooth in his mouth.
Yeah, you don't go around that house regardless of Halloween.
Hair growing on his nose, right? He would look like he was some kind of gargoyle.
And you find out that that's how he does it. That's how he dresses normally, not
that's
just
right.
Halloween.
You never went there to get any Halloween candy. You weren't. You didn't care if he was giving away money.
Yeah,
you said, don't go to that house because you may end up underneath the crawl space
right,
there.
That's a 24/7 Halloween guy neighbor. There was always the creepy neighbor. And I remember a couple doors down, you're like, oh, thank God the nice neighbor was next door to the creepy one.
And then naturally, there's always the Christmas displays when I was growing up. Right there in Canarsie, you had that crook who is the Brooklyn County chairman now, Frank Setio. He had his display there, all imported fineries, you know, from Italy. And it would be like on display for people to be driving in from all different neighborhoods, Dyker Heights, Bensonhurst, the South Shore, Staten Island, Howard Beach. And a lot of times people would get upset because they'd say, hey, look, man, all of a sudden it's like Times Square here all during the holiday season. And
oh,
people-
see, I like that. I have no problem because I think when people don't enjoy the holidays and don't celebrate, look, there's enough bad news out there and bad stories out there. And when it's something kind of happy, even if it's a hassle and it blocks the traffic. I remember I had a neighbor and like right near the end of the road, it was a huge hassle, but it was still fun. As kids, you'd go, okay, at least he's celebrating. You know, but then you had the crazy grouchy neighbor who'd always complain.
But I always wondered how they would afford the electricity bills.
That's
remember,
their problem.
Right after Thanksgiving, they'd start hooking up the lights and the displays, and those lights would be on almost constantly, blazing away. And every year, some of these folks will get more and more ornaments, add more and more additions
well,
to their Christmas displays.
It becomes a competition, and that's when it gets kind of funny. Yeah, you see the neighbor like, oh, he has more lights? Wait a minute, I'm going to one-up him. And that's where I think these guys in New Jersey were going with this crazy Halloween display, which, again, you can't tell that it looks like a display, at least from the pictures. I have not been there. But when you sit there and you go by, it looks to me like, you know, like you got Special Victims Unit coming on scene any minute.
Let's go to Steve calling from Bradley Beach. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Steve.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Rita. Listen,
hey.
I've seen the display, okay? And you know what? Halloween is supposed to scare you a little bit.
Well,
I mean,
now,
you know,
let me ask
just,
you, Steve.
Just,
hang
no,
on.
Let me just finish. Let me
go
just,
ahead. All right, go ahead.
Just lighten up a little bit. And you know what? Put the big girl pants on.
Steve, let me ask you. Can you tell it's Halloween, or if you're just going by, does it say ha ha, and there's a little zombie over there and a little pumpkin nearby, or is it
you can tell. Believe me, you can tell it's fake. You can tell it's fake. I mean, is it scary? Absolutely, but you could tell it's fake.
But where do we draw the line, Steve? Don't you think that some people just get over the top? It's like, you know, it's let's do this. Like, I think about Kathy Griffin holding the president's head. Ha ha. Like, that's, you know, there's certain things that aren't funny.
But it's Halloween. It's one day. The day after Halloween, it'll be gone.
It's not Halloween yet. You got too much. You got tons of days to terrorize the neighborhood.
I just think it's gone over the top.
I've been to a lot of real crime scenes. This looks pretty real to me. I don't like freaking out the neighbor. I think, you know, come on. There's ways to be funny, ha-ha, and not be scaring the heck out of people.
Our number's 1-800-848-WABC.